From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, new numbers out today on new home construction. We'll go to a U.S. city where you can buy a house for a dollar.
But first, let's turn to Iraq, where today the Iraqi military launched a major offensive to reclaim the city of Tikrit from the Islamic militant group ISIS, which has controlled Tikrit since its lightning offensive in June. Iraqi and Kurdish forces are also still battling militants near the Mosul Dam in the country's north, and those battles are taking place with U.S. help. So what is the military situation in Iraq? And more importantly, perhaps, what are the options for the United States? Admiral William Fallon joins us in our studio. He's a veteran of several wars, including Vietnam and Operation Desert Storm. He also served as head of CENTCOM, U.S. Central Command, during the second Iraq War. Admiral Fallon, welcome to the program.
Happy to be here.
So first of all, I wonder if you could just give us your assessment of the current situation on the ground in Iraq. I mean, we saw ISIS take major swaths of the country over the course of the summer.
I think it's probably good to try to get a mental picture of Iraq. And when we talk about taking large swaths of the country, the reality is that in the western and northern parts of Iraq, where ISIS has managed to get a significant foothold, most of the country is barren desert. There are very few people and vast open areas with little population. The population tends to be in small towns and villages. So they've taken a lot of these villages and they're given credit for running the big chunk of the country. I don't think that's quite accurate. However, they have pushed the Iraqi forces back in the Tigris River Valley from Mosul down towards Baghdad. And that's been very, very unnerving and destabilizing. Mm-hmm. So now what's going on is that with U.S. airstrikes helping, the Iraqi government, particularly the Kurdish people, the Peshmerga, they have their own militia up there that they've had for years. They're actually beginning to push back ISIS and have reclaimed several towns and villages that were taken by the militant extremists here in the last month. So the situation on the ground is changing more favorably to the Iraqi government and their Kurdish allies.
Is it possible to tell if it's changing favorably in a meaningful way in the long run, because there has been such a push and pull in terms of this disputed territory that we're talking about?
I think that the military situation will be pretty fluid. And again, we're talking about a relatively small number of ISIS extremist militant fighters. But the key thing here is what the government in Baghdad is going to do, because that's fundamentally what's really important here. And I'd say that because the people of the country, I believe, at least the Sunnis, who represent up to maybe 30% of the population, and the Kurds and the Nuer, so together they make up about half the population of the country, have had little confidence and faith in the Maliki government. And that's been the real story behind the scenes here, I think, and why ISIS has made these gains. So now with Maliki agreeing to step down, the new PM designate, I guess, Haider al-Abadi, to standing by to step up, depending on what he does, I think his actions towards the Kurds and Sunnis will be the biggest factor in what really happens on the ground.
So that political situation has long been a central, if not the major part of the calculus when it comes to military options in Iraq. But what about the sort of the political calculus that President Obama has to make? I mean, he has ruled out sending troops, boots on the ground, back to Iraq. But the U.S. has engaged militarily with those airstrikes we were talking about. I mean, what are his options?
It's pretty complex and very interesting. We have some number of troops back in the country now, and I haven't totaled them up. I think it's probably in the range of maybe 2,000 or less total people. And they're doing a number of things, I believe. They're helping to guide the airstrikes, which would be certainly much less effective without people on the ground to guide them to their targets. I think we have people that are doing some advisory work for the Iraqi and Kurdish military people and others that are making assessments of kind of what the situation is. So
do you think there's a risk that the U.S. could be drawn even further militarily?
Well, I would doubt that there's going to be a whole lot of significant increase. I think the situation right now is actually what I had envisioned back in 2007, that we might really, in my view, what we really wanted to have on the ground was a small number of troops, maybe a couple thousand, that remained after the major withdrawal, after the majority of the combat forces were out. And these troops were not to do fighting, not to be chasing bad guys, but to be there to be eyes and ears on the ground, advising the Iraqi military, giving them confidence that we were with them, and giving them the technical assistance that they could use to be effective. That didn't happen. We left, and so what ensued was Maliki left to his own designs, and I think they undercut the military. But the bottom line now is, what do you do? Where do we go forward? There's some tactical gains being made on the ground with the help of the airstrikes and the renewed courage. My assessment when ISIS overran Mosul was that two things needed to happen. One, the Iraqi military had to get a spine and leadership, and I think the reason I suspect the reason that they were so easily pushed around or they just deserted was because they had lack of confidence in their leadership, which was probably decimated by Maliki and handpicking his bubbas to go in there. Mm-hmm. So the military has to have courage to stand and fight. It's their fight, not ours.
Yeah.
Second thing is that the political situation has to change so that the Sunnis and the Kurds feel that the government's going to take care of them. And if that happens, then a population would be much more supportive of the army's initiative. So they could roll back a lot of this these gains by the Islamists if they got their act together.
Admiral William Fallon, he's veteran of several wars, including Vietnam and Operation Desert Storm, and he served as head of CENTCOM, U.S. Central Command during the Second Iraq War. Admiral Fallon, pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to be with you.